Good afternoon, everyone. For those I've not met before, my name's Pete. I know I'm part of the staff team here at KXC. It's great to see so many new faces here tonight. Hope the sweets have gone round. We're in a teaching series. If you're just joining us for the first time tonight, we're in the middle, or actually we're ending tonight, a teaching series that we've been in for the last month called Restoring Patterns of Renewal, Practicing the Way of Jesus. And it's been a teaching series on discipleship. And it's something we've been really, really excited about as a church. It's something that we're hoping to push deeper into in the coming months and years, deeper into discipleship. So this series has, as in many ways so far, the first three talks have been all about sort of laying some foundations. So we've been talking about these three things. And week one, this idea of what is discipleship. And it's this whole idea of apprenticeship. When we look at the New Testament about how Jesus discipled people, it looked like apprenticeship. People coming, following him and learning from him. And that looked like three things: being with him, becoming like him, and doing the stuff that he did. So that's what week one was all about, the what is discipleship. And then right at the heart of that is transformation and change, learning that over time, being transformed from one degree of glory to the next, as scriptures say. And so we looked at change. How are we going to change? How is it that the Lord, the Holy Spirit in us changes us? And we talked about being desiring beings. It's not simply good enough just to hear stuff on a Sunday and then just hope that it all works out during the week. We want to form patterns in our lives that start to shape our desires, put the right kind of longings deep down inside of us that make us fall so in love with Jesus that we're aimed with everything that we have towards him. So that was about how do we change. And then we looked at where are we trying to do this? Where are we trying to follow Jesus like this? And we talked about being in the city and how that's got unique challenges and opportunities. And that if we, the stories of this place and the habits of this place and the people in this place, well, they form us and they create culture. And that's challenging in one ways, but it's very exciting in others because it gives us a chance to bring the story of Jesus into the mix, patterns of heaven into the mix, and people filled with the Spirit into the mix. And in the process of doing that, we firmly believe we can be a creative minority in a city that creates kingdom culture. So that's been the first 3 weeks. It's been about building some of the sort of theological foundations for what we're talking about tonight. And so tonight is going to be a lot more practical. This is the kind of outworking of all of that. So if you're here for the first time tonight, this isn't a typical talk for here at KXC. We just want to talk about this stuff. We actually want to do it and walk into this and step into it. And tonight is all about that. You'll have picked up on some themes as we've been going through, the theme about community, about being a people who are cheering each other on and rooting for one another, tying our well-being to the well-being of those around us. People who know our story, who know the story of Jesus and are anchored in that story as we live out our lives. People full of vision on the front foot, not on the back foot in this city, with these patterns that shape in the right desires that shape, lead us into the right direction. And then people full who are prayers, who are filled with the Holy Spirit and are praying their way through life. So those are some of the themes that have been coming through. How are we going to step into this? What's this going to look like? What's it going to outwork in this church like? And Pete showed us this on the first week. So if you weren't here, just very, very quick recap. These are kind of like four spheres of belonging in the church here at KXC. So you've got like the public one. That's kind of like the crowd mentality. That's this room right now. It's this sense of like we're in this with others and we're worshiping together and we're praying together and we're hearing the word unpacked, et cetera, et cetera. That's a certain type of discipleship that takes place there. In our hubs, our midweek communities, another type of discipleship takes place there. Pete was saying how there's this personal space, this sort of threes and fours sort of size space in the church. And currently we don't really do anything there. That's the space most suited to a sort of deep end discipleship where high levels of honesty, accountability, vulnerability, intimacy, all that sort of stuff. And then the intimate one, which is about the one-to-one devotional life. All of that is discipleship. That's a picture of being formed in the likeness of Christ. And we're saying that what we've been missing is this personal space. So what we've been doing as a team is just thinking over the last year and a half, 2 years, well, what can we do to equip people in that sphere, in that space? How can we equip people to be in groups of threes and fours to really disciple one another very intentionally? And tonight is the sort of talking about that and what that looks like and the sort of outworking. And it's something called pattern. Some of you have come across this already, the language you'll have picked up through the series so far. And it's this tool we've been creating and a resource that's going to help equip us in this space to form into groups of three and four to disciple one another. So tonight I just want to tell you about it. And cast a vision for it and what it looks like and how it works, but in a sort of, not in a very in-depth sense, but just sort of cast the vision of it in general. So that's really what we're doing tonight. hold on tight. We're going to go through it quite quickly. But it looks like this. So what is pattern? It's a resource. It's a resource to resource us in groups of three and four. To meet with each other weekly or fortnightly. We've realized that that's the sort of, if we do it any less regularly than fortnightly, we're just going to lose momentum in the progress that we're making. And one of the interesting things about London is the transient nature of it, right? How quickly people move on and how things change so much and at quite a fast pace. And so we want to start breeding sort of commitment. And so people committing to this for like 6 months in this together to help shape each other over a longer period of time. So threes and fours, same sex, weekly, fortnightly, six, for about 6 months. And those groups, once you form those groups, they go on a journey together. And this kind of, you go on this journey at your own pace through four different phases. The four phases are this: story, vision, pattern, and contend. Story, vision, pattern, and contend. Now, that might feel quite alien, although obviously the language we've been using all series. I just want to talk about each of those phases, because it's not like it's a course you have to complete. It's not like rushing through to the end, but like each of them we believe will bring life, and I just want to go through that really briefly now. So what is the story phase all about? This is the first phase that the groups do together. It's about the power of testimony. And we really believe, we're convinced that as the people of God, we've always had a story to tell. It's a story of God on the move, loving this world back to life. And if you think back to the Exodus narrative, like, so the people would gather around the Passover table, and all the generations would be present. They'd retell this story of how the sea was split, and they went through it, and they were freed on the other side. That's what they would do. And then imagine when first disciples were made and they started taking this good news across the Mediterranean. They pull up in ports and in town centers and they start talking about the good news of Jesus. They had a story to tell, and it's no different for us today. We've got a story to tell of God on the move in our life. And so we want to be people who know our story, who know and are anchored in the story of God at work in our life. So we want to become story knowers here at KXC. And one of the practical ways that we're doing that is something like this. So this is like mapping out your story. So what you do is you, in your groups, like, you take it in turns, and you think throughout a week, you take a couple of weeks just thinking about this, like, what are the significant people, places, and events of my lifeline, of my life so far, and just plot them on this map, like, as you perceive them, positive above the line, and then negative or ones that are more difficult below the line. When the Israelites went through that sea and they got to the other side, what they did is they placed down these markers, right, to say, like, this is what the Lord did here that day. Like, this happened and this is who God is, and we want to remember that moment. And so when everyone saw those stones for years and years to come, they would remember what God was like. And in many ways, what we're doing with these, when you put these things on your timeline, it's like putting down markers. And it's saying, like, this happened in my life, and who was God to me? And you start to explore, like, oh, where were you in all of that, God? And how did you shape me, and et cetera, et cetera. And so it's these, like, placing down of markers in our life. And it's a way of sort of remembering God's faithfulness and the pattern of his love in your life as you look back. And it's just quite interesting. It's quite a vulnerable thing to do. It's quite intimidating, actually. But it's an amazing thing to do. It really, really is powerful. And you notice stuff about how God has been at work in your life the whole way through. And it's absolutely fascinating, almost themes sort of developing. So you do that, and then you bring your timeline to the group, and you and one of you goes one evening, and you just tell your story. So we don't just want to be story knowers, we want to be storytellers. And there's lots of reasons behind this, but there's something very, very powerful about telling your story, the vulnerability and the honesty that's needed to do that. And you do not go back from that moment. When you know someone's story and they know your story, there is something that takes place in that moment, and you don't go back from it. It's a very, very powerful thing. And we want to get people exercising that muscle of seeing how God has been at work in their life, their testimony, and then exercising the muscle of telling that story. Because it's powerful in that moment, but also we want to be people in our workplaces, in the canteens, in the staff rooms, whatever it looks like, who are able and confident to be able to talk about how God is at work in our lives. So we want to exercise these muscles in these safe places so that we can do it in the world. So we want to be story knowers and storytellers, and that's so that we can be story writers. So the whole point of this is that as we look back, so you might notice, let's say, like all these different times when you find it financially difficult, but yet God seemed to provide every single time. And you almost hadn't even realized until you started to draw out your map. You're like, wow, he's been faithful all this way. And so as we then move forward, it's sort of like looking back gives you confidence to face the future, to write the story going forward. And so there's this sense in which when you come up against hardship again, when it doesn't look like things are going to add up at the end of the month, you're like, no, I put the marker down. I know that God did that in my life. I know he's done it repeatedly, and I'm going to trust him going forward. It's the power of being story knowers, storytellers, and story writers. So that's the first phase, and you kind of, let's say there's four of you in the group, you take 4 weeks to do it, and you come out the other side, and it's sort of set the bar in terms of honesty and accountability, and you go off from there. And the second phase looks like this. It's called vision. It's about the importance of direction. So I was talking before, wasn't I, about how like so easy to sort of sleepwalk through much of life in London. And suddenly you're 8 months into a job and you barely even thought about it. You'd become a certain type of employee during that time. Or you've been at KXC for like 4 years and you sort of just done it and hadn't really thought about it. And what's actually my vision for being in this place? And so I talked about this from Ruth Valerio's environmentalist thinker. And she said, too often we find ourselves on the treadmill of life, paying the consequences for choices we hardly knew we were making. This phase is all about forming vision for being in this city. What is it that God wants us to do? And being people on the front foot. I remember there's a guy called Benjamin Zander. He's a fascinating guy. You should YouTube him. He's the conductor of the Boston Philharmonic Youth Orchestra. Wow, someone's nodding. You know him. That's amazing. And anyway, so he leads this like world famous youth orchestra, and every year there's this sort of academy, and people travel from all over the world to go and study there. As a violinist, as a pianist, whatever it might look like. And on day one, what he gets them to do is he gets them to write down who it is they would love to be at the end of the year. What kind of pianist would they love to be at the end of the year? What's their vision for this year? And he teaches them in light of it, and he says to them this, and I love this. He says, "Fall passionately in love with that person, with that vision. Fall passionately in love with it," and he teaches them in light of that vision. And what we're doing in this phase is something similar. We're taking these spheres of life, daily routine, your work life, your money, your local community, all those sort of different things. And we're asking people to, this isn't like life goals, by the way, or self-improvement. This is like, okay, Lord, like, what would you have me do with my money? What does it look like to follow you faithfully and obediently with my money? What does it look like to be Jesus in my workplace? So Jesus himself, right, he says repeatedly in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that he only did what his Father was asking him to do. It's this sense, and that's what we're doing. People say, like, well, I'm not really a visionary. And that's not really what we're asking you to be. What we're asking you to be is someone who prays. Someone who goes to the Lord and offers up their money and just says, Lord, what would you have me do with it? What kind of person do you want me to be with my money? And I want to fall passionately in love, A, with you, Jesus, and how you were and how you walked this earth. But I want to fall passionately in love with the vision that you've placed on my heart. I want to be on the front foot, and I want to go after that with my life. So that's what we do. You've done a story map, and then this is all about mapping out your vision. And hopefully by the end of the phase, and you sort of bring it to each week, and you discuss your vision for your friendship or for your work lives, and you sort of sharpen each other's vision and all that sort of stuff. And by the end of it, hopefully, you're full of vision for living in this city with every sphere of your life. And then once you've done that, so that's like ideally what would this look like? Like, what is it that God is placing on my heart? What's he calling me into? Then this next phase, pattern, this is kind of the bread and butter of it. It's saying, like, okay, well, what does that actually look like right now? So if that's my vision, Lord, that you've placed on my heart for my workplace, what does my life in my workplace currently look like? And it's just this sense, the way we're doing this is about just writing down. So you go through the same spheres and you kind of start again. It's like, okay, well, in my workplace, what are the patterns that I see? And in my daily routine, what are the patterns that I'm seeing every single day that seem to be emerging? And you just write them down. And then once you sort of mapped out these patterns, it's this sense of saying, okay, Lord, like, given what we've been talking about this whole series about how the patterns of our life shape the desires of our life, and they get a hold of us and they start to point to us. If we start to love certain things, we start to live our whole lives in pursuit of them. So we start to say, okay, well, look, some of these might be harmless, but some of them might not. And so you start to look at which ones that you think need to. So this was all about, how do I go back? Oh, great. This is all about breaking and making habits, this phase. That's what it's all about. So you go through this, and then this is the key bit for this phase. It's about recognizing habits, patterns in your life that might be leading you away, that might be forming the wrong kind of loves in you, that might be pointing you towards a rival kingdom. And at that point, and we don't talk much about repentance in the church here at KC, but like at this point, we could just do like willpower and like life improvement. That's just going to make a difference. I'm just going to make a choice and change. But really, right at the heart of this is Jesus. And without him, like we're not going anywhere. And so we recognize this stuff, how it's maybe been leading us away from him. And then we just simply say, Lord, I repent of it. I want to turn around from that. I'm sorry for that. Lord, would your grace wash over my life again? Fill me with your spirit again. And I want to live for you. I want to live for you. And so we live in the power of the cross, and the same power that raised him from the dead lives in us. And we go and we try and, where we've recognized and repented, we then try and replace that pattern with a new pattern, a new pattern that redirects our love back towards Jesus, back towards his kingdom. So where a pattern was taking us away and pointing us towards a rival kingdom, we repent of it and then replace with a new pattern that would take us back towards the kingdom. Does that make sense? So that's basically the bread and butter. You've done a sort of story, vision, and then pattern. And then each week, maybe there's like a couple of things that you're highlighting as like, these seem to be the key things in my life right now. These are the dominant patterns that are sort of leading me in a certain direction. I want to replace them with ones that point me back towards Jesus. And then it's this idea of contending. And really, contending runs through the whole thing. And it's the centrality of prayer. That's what this is all about. These groups could all become about willpower, and we're determined that isn't the case. We want it to be about his power at work in our lives. And we do that through prayer. And these are primarily prayer groups. So imagine, I don't know if you've ever been in like a prayer triplet-y type thing. It's quite a churchy thing. But if you've ever been in one of them, it's like you get in a three and you pray for things in each other's lives. And I don't know if you've ever been in them. I've been in loads of these. And you sort of just like, you get together and you talk about how you're struggling with this, that, and the other, a certain thought life or whatever. And you're just like, oh, me too. Yeah. No, I'm just like that as well. Oh, to be honest, I'm struggling with exactly the same things. And there's loads of empathy in the room. But like months later, you're all still just going, yeah, me too. Like, I'm just like, I'm exactly the same. And actually, we don't just want these to be empathy groups. Remember, one of the early talks of this series, we were saying like so much of our experience so far has been one of frustration, not transformation. And we don't want to settle for that anymore. We don't want to settle for the status quo. We don't want to settle for how it always has been anymore. Because Christ died on the cross to set us free. And we don't want to settle for anything less than true and absolute freedom. And so we want these to not just be like empathy groups, but breakthrough groups. We genuinely want to see people walking in greater freedom in 6 months' time than they were now. So this isn't just about sort of having empathy, although empathy is going to be really, really important in these things. But it's about contending for one another, freedom. So that looks like prayerfully and practically. I just want to draw out a couple of images from the Bible. There's this one from Moses' life. And what's happening is the Israelites have been traveling through, and the Amalekites, this nomadic, fierce tribe, they attack them. And so Joshua, who leads the army, goes into battle. And Moses, who's quite old, he goes up a hill with two guys, Aaron and Hur, and they get up to the top, Moses is praying for the battle going on down below. And what he does is he raises his arms in worship, and it says, worship and prayer. And it says, as long as Moses held up his hands, verse 11, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. And this is what it looks like to contend for one another. It looks like standing shoulder to shoulder in prayer and in worship, side by side until the sunset. You know, it's like holding each other's arms up in prayer and worship until the battle is won. It's like saying, your battle is my battle, and I'm going to stand with you until we see victory and see breakthrough in that thing in your life. So it's one image of what it looks like to contend for one another. And then there's another one. I don't know if you've ever been, again, in one of these groups, and you sort of sit and you talk 1 week, and you kind of hear this guy called Rob's stuff, and then you go away, and you're like, I'll pray for you all week, mate, don't worry about it. And then you go in, like, you live your week, it's busy, of course it's busy. And then you're walking back to the house next week, and you're like, oh my goodness, what did he, I was going to be praying for him a week. Was it finances? Was it pornography? Like, I can't remember what it was he was struggling with. And it's like, you're about to knock on the door, and it's like, oh, I haven't even remembered what it was that he was struggling with, let alone did I pray for him all week. And I just want to draw out another story about Aaron. Again, actually, he's become the great high priest of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he wore this garment as the great high priest. And it's not the great high priest, is it? It's just the high priest. Anyway, that's Jesus. Anyway, he's just the high priest. Anyway, and on this garment are engraved the 12 tribes of Israel. And it says here that whenever Aaron enters the holy place, he will bear the names of the sons of Israel over his heart, on the breastpiece, as a continuing memorial before the Lord. Every time he went in prayer before the Lord, every time he entered that holy place, he carried the 12 tribes with him. And in these groups, that's what we want to do. We don't want to forget about Rob throughout the week, you know, and turn up next week and just do more empathy. We wanna be praying all week for this person and to tie your well-being to theirs. I mentioned a while back, so I talk about prayerfully and practically, and practically this might look like, so a while back we struggled with our finances. I told you about that before. And what would have been amazing in that time would have been being in one of these groups and having someone praying for me. But not just praying for me, but maybe practically contending for me as well. So what that might look like. I was terrified to open the envelope, to look at the bank balance on my app, to go online or whatever it was, or look at it on the cash machine. And what would have been amazing is someone to say, okay, I'm going to pray for you all week, Pete. But more than that, on a Wednesday night, every Wednesday, I'm going to text you. I'm going to ask you your bank balance. That would have broken a pattern of fear in my life. Every week, one of my best mates just saying to me, have you, you know, what's your bank balance? And I'd have had to say. And it would have just broken this pattern in my life. So it's this idea of like prayerfully and practically contending for each other's freedom. So that's what the groups are. They move through these four phases: story, vision, pattern, and contend. And so that's what the groups are. That's what we're launching. And just want to tell you a little bit about the plan for it. I know that's loads of information. There's going to be, you know, you're going to hear more about this in the coming weeks and months as well. But the plan for sort of moving forward, the idea is we're going to launch these properly in January 2017. So we have a weekend away coming up. If you haven't signed up, do so. It's brilliant. It's going to be great fun. But after that, we're going to sort of, you know, set these groups off and going in the church. And so between now and then, can I ask you to do three things? One is to think about this. Think about it. Listen back to the talks. Is this something that you would want to get involved in? Like, how would you do this? How would you put it into your life? How would you move things around to be able to fit it in? Pray about it. Like, we talked just now about how Jesus only did what his Father was asking him to do. Like, is this something that he's stirring you to do? We'd love you to do it, but ask the Lord, pray about it. And then if the answer to those two things is yes, then start thinking about, okay, who might I do this with? Who are three people or two others or three others in the church that I might do this with? And start to have those conversations, start to form a group. And then what you need to do is just pop onto this website, kxe.org.uk/pattern. And on there is a nice little video that you need to check out. We haven't got time to share it today, but /pattern. And then there's a sign-up sheet, and it's basically fill in the four names or the three names, sign up and pick a training night and come along to it. It'll be a lot more exciting than what a training night sounds like, I promise. But essentially, like, what we would love to do, every group's life is going to start by coming on one of these training nights, one of these training evenings. So sign up as a whole group, you're coming as a whole group to training, get on the same page. There'll be some of the background to this, but a lot of the practicalities around how to do these groups well. And then at the end of it, you get this lovely little booklet for free as well, by the way. And it's just this, it's just a way of like writing stuff down. And then you launch out into the life of the group. So that's after the weekend away in January. Between now and then, if you've got any questions, we've set up this email address, pattern@kxe.org.uk. Myself and Anna Mason, who's been leading the service tonight, are going to be overseeing this. So fire off any questions you've got between now and then. We'd love to answer them. Anna in particular is quite passionate about answering difficult questions. So do fire them her way. What else is there to say? There's a couple of things. Firstly, that we're learning as we go with this stuff. And we've never done this before, and we're giving it a good shot. We've done a couple of trials, so just a few people within the church just trialing it out, just to figure out, is this like awful or not, like trying to iron out some of the creases. And honestly, it was so exciting what we're seeing. It really is so exciting. Like, the first fruits of this seem to be really, really positive, seeing change happening in people's lives. But we're not kidding ourselves. We're not all the way there. And this will be like version one of this. And we'd love everyone to go on the journey now and just give us feedback as we go. But yeah, have patience with us and grace for us as we try and, you know, there's 600 or so in this church now. Like, trying to introduce something like that at this point isn't the simplest of things. So we'll probably make mistakes as we go. So just have patience with us. That would be absolutely amazing. And now I want to talk about some elephants in the room, that is, and just like address some of the things that we suspect you might be thinking. There are loads of these elephants, by the way, but I'm just going to talk about a couple of them tonight. The first is this one. I don't know many people in London. Who will I do it with? I'm totally intimidated. I don't know if you can relate to that at all, but in London, just the nature of it, right? It isn't very easy to get to know people very well. Often people are here and you're new to the city and things like that. And so what I'm talking about tonight, you might be thinking, oh gosh, like I don't know anyone well enough to be able to do a group like this. And if I'm being really honest, when I started this and we started sort of pulling this stuff together, we thought like, oh, this is probably going to work best when people have known each other for years. Like, just that will be the most likely environment for this to work. And we've done these trials, and honestly, I can say that is not the case. A key ingredient here isn't that you've been best mates for years. Really, really want to make that clear, and hopefully that lowers the intimidation level on this thing. Like, the key ingredients are these, that the person you do it with, that they're actually wanting to imitate Christ. That they might not be all the way there yet, and however, wherever they are on that journey, but they're going after Jesus. They want to live for Jesus with their life. It's one of the key ingredients. So do they want to do that? Are you up for being honest with one another? So we've had groups. We haven't yet had a group of four people who didn't know each other. So we haven't yet done that. But we have had groups of four where two people don't know each other very well at all. Maybe they talked a couple of times at church. And they just set the standards at the start and said, we're going to be really honest with each other, and it's going to be confidential, and we're not going to talk about it outside of this. And they just created this really safe environment, safe enough to heal and dangerous enough to grow, and they were able to be honest with each other. Not because of 15 years of friendship, but because they just set about forming that kind of a culture in the group. So are they chasing after Christ? Are you willing to be honest with each other? And have you got an enthusiasm for praying for one another? I genuinely think if you fuse those things together, like, these groups will work, and that you will start to see transformation in your life. The key ingredient isn't 15 years of friendship. Just wanted to sort of say that, and hopefully that lowers the intimidation thing. But we also want to say that that even in the trial, like, there have been people who didn't form groups as quickly as they wanted to form them. And that gap of, like, I want to form a group, but I haven't yet been able to get in one, can feel quite sensitive, and it can be difficult, and it can feel a bit like eternity when it's actually not necessarily even that long. But we have to be realistic and know that sometimes, for loads of reasons, working life patterns, where you live in the city, all that sort of stuff, that it might take a little while to form into a group. And we want to help you along that way as much as we can, if you're finding that difficult. But just wanted to put that out there at the start, and hopefully we'll learn how to form these groups as quickly and as well as we can. But do bear with us as we do that. Here's another one. Oh gosh, another thing. Like, another thing that church is asking us to do. Like, panic, church taking over my life. Is it even compulsory? And I'll park the first two first, but is it compulsory? Obviously no. Like, it's obviously not compulsory. That's not what churches get to do. But what Peter talks about, uses this language of creating a wave. So what we're doing with this is creating a wave that we genuinely believe will lead to life. We're seeing it already, but we genuinely believe that wave, if you ride it, will lead to life. And we're inviting everyone to get on it. Like, we would love everyone in this church to get into a pattern group. But you totally don't have to. And that's what I'm saying. Think about it. Pray about it. Much like with come, belong, serve, give, you know, the four things that we say to do. Like, if we believe, that's another wave. If you ride that wave, if you do those four things, we genuinely believe you'll flourish in this church. But if you don't do a couple of them, it's not like you're outcast and you can't come on or something, you know, whatever. Like, we love you and you're part of this community just the same. So we'd love you to ride the wave. Obviously, you don't have to. So, oh gosh, another thing, church taking over my life. Let me fuse it with these. What does this mean for hubs? Is pattern replacing hubs? and how they're going to work together. And we're going to talk a lot more about this. So the next 5 minutes isn't going to cut it. So keep listening out. But I just want to talk briefly about hubs. And hubs, if you don't know, are our midweek communities. And they've been absolutely central to everything that we've done as a church. They've been absolutely key so far. People finding home and belonging and community and fun in a city that can be quite intimidating. So they've been absolutely key. They exist in this space here. And we just want to say right from the outset that Andy Kitchen has been leading on hubs up to this point. He's done a totally phenomenal job with it, an extraordinary job. He's led it with vision. He's led it with care. He's created new leaders, generated leaders out of it. Huge amounts of creativity has burst out across our church. It's really I'm trained to be a vicar at the moment. We go away on these like study weekends. We go and hang out. The really cool kids, we go and get a beer on the Saturday night and we talk about things like small groups. And that's what we chat about. Like, how do you do small groups? How do you do small groups? And there's two things that people are always amazed by, when I talk about, KXC's hubs. The first is the sheer numbers of people that are in them. Like, it genuinely is amazing. Currently over 300 people in hubs in this church. It's an amazing thing. And it's a jaw-dropping moment for people because they're like, they just cannot get anything anywhere near like that proportion. So that's been an amazing feature of hubs. And the second thing that I always comment on is the diversity of how many different types of hubs have been formed. And it's a sign of people buying in and saying what they've got in their hand and using it to honor God. Nearly all of that is down to the way Andy has led it. And so he's done an amazing job. Anna and I are going to be, Anna Mason that is, and I are going to be taking it on and overseeing it as we go forward, just because it sits really tightly with Pattern, hopefully, going forward. So we're going to be overseeing hubs as well. They exist in this space here. And I was saying earlier, all of these contribute something to discipleship, right? They all contribute something. And social area hubs are contributing, in our mind, two things brilliantly. They are perfect for these two things. Building community. They are the best space in our church for building community, for meeting people, for getting to know people. That's number one thing. And the second thing, we're really convinced that they could be amazing for being missional, for turning us outward as a church and reaching our localities and our work colleagues and things like that. So let me just explain that a bit more now. So we're using this language that hubs are about forming community around mission. Forming community around mission. So let me just dive into that first one briefly. Forming community. These are staying. They've been key so far. They're not going anywhere. They're a key part of our story going forward. And they're a key part of the journey of belonging at KXC. So those yellow arrows, that's like a theoretical journey of finding community here at KXC. So imagine you just moved to the area, you come along on a Sunday. Obviously, in an environment like this, you're not going to get to know people very well. So we're saying, and it's going to remain the same, go and join a hub. That's the key place. That's the main vehicle for delivering community here at KXC. Go along, meet some people, make some friends, have a lot of fun as you do it. Then hopefully we're hoping out of that some people will form pattern groups in time. So that the hubs remain about forming community. That's going to be one of the fundamental objectives of them moving forward. But we also, the danger would be that if we're sort of slightly inward looking on a Sunday and then just about community only on the Tuesday, let's say, as you go to hub, and then patterns also about you and going through stuff in your life, then we could run the risk of being quite insular, right, and just inward facing. And as a church, we want to be always facing outwards and reaching the lost and reaching our colleagues and reaching our friends and those on the margins of society. So we want to be forming community but around mission. The best way you can describe this word communitas and how it's slightly different from community. And communitas is, there's a quote from a guy called Vince Antonucci, and he just says this: in communitas, i.e. not community, in communitas, our purpose for bonding is to have a life-altering adventure we can engage in together. It's about forming community, but going on a journey together, doing some stuff together, going on an adventure. So we're saying that this is our space in our church to collectively practice the stuff that Jesus did. Getting together, collectively practicing the stuff that he did. Imagine those 12 disciples, right, going out with Jesus, and he's teaching them. They're apprenticing themselves to him. And he's teaching them how to do the stuff that he does, and the nerves that would be in them. But they go as a group, and they try it, and they start to pray for healing here, and et cetera, et cetera. Can you imagine the community being formed in that moment as you're kind of going out. If anyone's done Soul in the City, it's all about this. You get seven or eight of you that haven't really talked that much. You go and paint someone's house, and by the end, you leave like really good mates. And you've like had a load of fun together at the same time. You're forming community around mission. So we want to collectively practice stuff that Jesus did. We've had community hubs, activity hubs, and course hubs. We're still going to keep course hubs, but we'll talk about that another time. We're going to focus in on these two. So slight tweak, village and activity. Village and activity. And let me just explain those two, and this is the last thing for anyone who's wondering. The village, so it's about forming community. The arrows are about forming community around something, right? So they're forming community around a village. By village, we mean Brixton, Bethnal Green, Homerton, Hackney, Shoreditch, wherever it is that you live or work. What these hubs would look like is saying, right, we've got a passion for this area. We want to see this area come to life. We want to be missional in this area. So let's gather around that. So let's say it's Bethnal Green. Someone leads it, has a house there, and those who are passionate about the area would go on a Tuesday night and they go and hang out. And in all of this is about apprenticeship, remember. It's about learning. So it's not about instantly being able to like see the whole of Bethnal Green saved in week one. That's unlikely to happen, although let's pray for it. But we're going to grow into this stuff. However your confidence levels are, we want to grow into this stuff. So week ones to four might be just having dinner together, getting to know one another and what's going on in each other's lives and starting to pray maybe in the safety of the flat for Bethnal Green. But then weeks four to six, you might pluck up some courage and maybe go and do a prayer walk around Bethnal Green. Just notice what is it the Lord is doing in this place, and then go back for dinner and debrief and chat and all that sort of stuff. And then you might start to think, okay, we notice a lot of homeless guys in and around this area. So for the rest of this hub, for this term, we're still going to keep it in a termly thing. For the rest of this hub, we're going to go out and every night we're going to come and have dinner, and then we're going to go out. We're going to sit with guys on the street, take them whatever they need, some food or some warm clothing, whatever it might look like. You might live in a tower block. You might start inviting people from other floors around for dinner, whatever it might look like. Be creative with it. Start to love your area and do that creatively. So you'd form community around that whole thing. The second one's activity. We've got these already. We've actually already got village hubs, and they're so exciting. We're wanting to press in on them more. The activity hubs. This is shared interests, passions, skills. So it might be pottery, it might be football, it might be boxing, it might be poetry, it might be theatre, whatever it might be. And it's like, okay, I love boxing. So I'm gonna let's get together a few people from this church that love it, but then let's also invite our workmates to come along as well. So let's say there's a football hub set up, like, in its five aside, let not all 10 be from KXE. The whole point is, like, let's say five of them are from KXE. And you invite in loads of space to bring people in, much more blurred at the edge. So you form community around that, go to the pub afterwards and chat. So that's the kind of idea. And we really want people to be, there to be flexibility in this and variety in this, and for people to come up with their own ideas. So just do get in touch. So these are going to launch in January as well. So think of the weekend as a kind of, weekend away as a kind of benchmark here. And after that, the current cycle of hubs is coming towards an end. Then between now and then, it's about coming up with ideas of hubs you might want to lead. And then after the weekend away, there'll be loads of opportunities to sign up for those hubs. And then we're going to get going towards the end of January. Same time, we're going to launch pattern groups as well. Just to give you an idea of what I'm going to do. So on a Monday night, I want to hang out with people outside of church because I don't do that anywhere near enough. I want to get fitter because I've turned 30 and I'm getting a beer belly. And I want to have some fun because I don't do enough of that. So I'm going to, that looks for me like playing squash or something like that. So I think I'm going to do a squash hub on a Monday night. And just invite anyone here who enjoys doing that as well. Book a few squash courts and then just invite people who don't come to church to come and play as well. Go to the pub afterwards, have a chat. That's me forming community around mission. And then on a Thursday, sometimes evening, sometime morning, going to do pattern. And that's what it's going to look like for me. It actually feels quite streamlined. It feels like a few things into one. And I'm really excited about it. And the reason we're excited is we hope that this is a combination of things. Will mean that we at KXC are a community of apprentices. Who are being with Jesus, becoming like him and doing the stuff that we did. We've got weekly rhythms, weekly patterns that are taking us out to people and that are going deeper with people here and forming us into the likeness of Christ. That's it. That's what we're doing. That's what this series has been all about and where we're landing things. So we're going to, as Pete said, we've got 10 minutes left. We're going to use that to do communion. Point being, we want to say at the start of all of this, like, communion is about we're one church gathering around Christ. Christ is at the center of all of this. And so we want to make a statement to each other and to God. We're in this. We want to go for him, and we want to do it together. So we're going to take communion now, and Pete's going to lead us in that.